from Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. Some recent studies have suggested that popular antidepressant drugs, such as Zoloft, Paxil, or Prozac, are no more effective than placebos, and may even be worse. This hour, we look at the debate over the nation's most popular pills with the head of psychiatry at the University of Iowa, Dr. Robert Robinson. He'll also tell us about a major new study he headed to prevent depression in stroke victims. Also joining us, the executive director of NAMI Iowa, Margaret Stout, and licensed psychologist Don Damstieg. The debate over the effectiveness of antidepressants. That follows a look at this hour's news. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. So glad you could join us over the news noon hour. I'm Ben Kiefer. Recent landmark research published in the Journal of the American Medical Association reinforced a seminal study from 1998 that calls into question the effectiveness of popular antidepressants. The conclusion? Yes, the drugs are effective in that they lift depression in most patients, but that benefit is hardly more than what patients get when they unknowingly, and as a part of a study, take a dummy pill, a placebo. And as more and more scientists who study depression and the drugs that treat it are concluding, it suggests that antidepressants are basically expensive Tic Tacs. Those are the words of Newsweek's Sharon Begley in a recent cover story on this. This hour, we want to explore the debate over the nation's most popular pills. It's a debate that affects a huge number of people in this country. In any given year, some 13 to 14 million Americans suffer from clinical depression. At least 32 million of us will have the disease at some point in our lives. The market for antidepressants, huge, some $10 billion a year in the United States. Joining me this hour, first of all, to talk about the latest thinking on depression and antidepressants, Dr. Robert Robinson. He's the head of the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics, joining us by phone from Iowa City. Dr. Robinson, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Help us understand the debate going on right now in the medical community. Is it fair to characterize, for instance, antidepressants in all but the most severe cases of depression as expensive Tic Tacs?
Well, I think that there are a couple of quick points that I'd like to make about this debate. The first is that you have to understand that every trial where they're comparing placebo and active medication is different, so that the patients who are involved in the trials are different. Some have comorbid disorders, so they have both anxiety disorder and depressive disorder, which we know makes them less likely to respond. Some have personality disorders. Some have other kinds of associated disorders. Also, some patients are more susceptible to the placebo response than others. Not everybody responds to a placebo. So you have to remember that the patient population being studied is a very important element of what the results are going to be. Secondly, the raters who are evaluating these patients, you know, we don't have a uniform way of enrolling patients, nor do we have a uniform way of making sure that the examiners are rating these patients exactly the same. So the experience of raters makes a big difference in what the outcome of the study is going to be. But the other point that I'd like to make, first so of course, is about the studies themselves. But the second point is that, you know, these elements that contribute to placebo response, you know, hope, expectation, anticipation, I mean, we all live with those things as part of our life. And the fact that all medications, because although we're talking about antidepressants now, we recognize any time there's a trial that involves placebo, there is a placebo effect. So every drug across the entire spectrum of physical drugs for physical illnesses as well as mental illnesses have an element of a placebo response. And ultimately, whether the placebo response explains 25, 50, or 75% of the response doesn't matter as much as does the patient get better? And so,
well, it matters. It doesn't matter to our pocketbooks when we're spending $10 billion a year on these antidepressants when we could be taking a pill, theoretically taking a pill, if we believed in it, that would cost virtually nothing.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem, is believing in it. See, there is the expectation that comes out of you see your doctor, you have a drug prescribed for you. You believe that that drug is going to help you, and there's a certain element of it that's going to be a specific effect of the drug, but there's also going to be an element of it that is a placebo effect. Mm-hmm. So you could use that argument for every single drug that we take, and I don't think any of us would want to take all of the drugs off the market just because part or a large portion of the effect is related to placebo.
In a review of previous research that was just published today, as a matter of fact, this is in the British medical journal Lancet, international experts say there is an increasing evidence that fake treatments, or placebos, as we've been talking about, have an actual biological effect in the body. You mentioned this, the doctor-patient relationship, the expectation of recovery, and that this is sometimes enough to change a patient's brain, body, and behavior. Comment on this. How does this expectation, this hope, this relationship with a doctor actually change our brains?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting issue, of course. How does what we think is an inactive substance change the brain? And there's actually quite a large literature on placebo effect. And some studies have, for instance, demonstrated that patients who are placebo responders have a different pattern of brain activity. If you do FMR, which is functional magnetic resonance imaging that shows blood flow in the brain in different areas of the brain, there's a whole literature that shows that the patterns of activation in the brain are different between patients who respond to placebo and patients who don't respond. The fact that this recent report indicates that there are physical effects of placebo, if you think about this issue that we've been discussing, that is a response of depressive disorders to placebo treatment, there are numerous physical effects of depression that are improved by placebo. So, for instance, sleep disturbance, appetite disturbance, loss of energy, those are all physical and slowing of the thought processes. These are all physical effects that occur from depression, and they get better when somebody takes placebo. So we've known for quite a number of years that there are physical manifestations of the fact that this so-called placebo effect. I would just point out that it's not surprising that somebody's belief, somebody's thought processes affect their body. Mm-hmm. We've known that for years and years.
So why is this causing a heated debate in the medical community now? Why is the person who came out with this original research in 1998, Irving Kirsch, one of the co-authors, this study, a psychology researcher, why has this taken so long to penetrate the medical community among psychologists, psychiatrists, primary caregivers? What is giving people the problem if this has been known for such a long time? Why isn't it being practiced?
Well, I mean, it is being practiced in the sense that we know that a significant portion of all medications that we get are their responses related to this so-called placebo effect, or the patient's anticipation.
But I don't know. But the point I'm making too, I don't know if we as consumers of these drugs know that. I think there's a big disconnect, don't you think, that we actually think it's the drug that's working. When you're saying, and studies back it up now going back over a decade, it may very well be almost or entirely a placebo effect if we're taking one of these well-known drugs.
Yeah, well, I do want to point out that the way we do these studies now, the double-blind randomized studies, so that patients are randomly assigned to active and placebo medication, and both the doctor and raters who are evaluating the patient and the patient themselves don't know whether they're getting active or placebo medication. So what that does is to very precisely take out the portion of the drug that is related to a placebo response, which you know I would refer to as the patient's hope and expectation of getting better, and the portion that is specifically related to the drug.
Mm-hmm.
And drugs aren't approved by the FDA unless they demonstrate a statistically significant greater degree of improvement in depression, as we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
but it's also true for others, unless there's a specific element related to the drug itself.
But isn't it true that if you're in one of these studies and you don't know whether you're getting the placebo or the real thing, that many of these drugs, almost all of them, have side effects. So if you get a side effect, you know that you are not on the placebo, and therefore that even if it doesn't decrease your depression, you know that you're not on the placebo, so your expectation is that it will cure you or help you.
Well, let me just give you some data related to that, and that
quick,
is...
We have about a minute before we need to break. Quickly, please, if I can ask you, Doctor.
I'll try to do it quickly. At the end of these studies, you always ask the patient, do you think you were receiving active medication or do you think you were receiving placebo? And when you suggest to patients, when you give them both the placebo and the active drug, that these are the kinds of side effects that might happen to them, at the end of the study, the patients, there's no statistically significant difference between the guesses of the patients who got active drug and those who got placebo. They both believe that, or 50% of them believe that they got active drug and 50% they got placebo, regardless of whether they actually got the active or placebo medication.
Okay, very good. We'll be back in just 1 minute. We want to take a short break and be back with the head of psychiatry at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics, Dr. Robert Robinson, talking about the debate over the effectiveness of antidepressants. Joining us when we come back, the executive director of NAMI Iowa, Margaret Stout, and licensed psychologist Don Damstiegt. And we'd like to have your opinion. What do you make of the debate over the effectiveness of antidepressants? Do you take an antidepressant? Do you think a placebo could be as effective as your $4 antidepressant pill if you only believed? 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. We'll be back in 1 minute. The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News over the noon hour. Glad you could join us. I'm Ben Kiefer. We're discussing this hour the debate about antidepressants in light of studies that suggest that popular antidepressant drugs are no more effective than placebos. Joining us from the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics, the head of psychiatry there, Dr. Robert Robinson. We've been talking with him the first few minutes. I'd like to ask two more to join our discussion. Margaret Stout is executive director of NAMI in Iowa. Good afternoon to you. Margaret joins us from the studios of Iowa Public Radio in Des Moines. Margaret, are you there? Margaret is not there. We'll go. We'll try Don Damstiegt. He is the owner of Family Psychology Associates, based in Cedar Rapids, a licensed psychologist. Don, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good to have you with us. We hope to have Margaret on board in just a moment. Let me get your reaction. I think you've been listening to our conversation in the first part, and you're aware, certainly, of the debate going on about antidepressants and their effectiveness. What is your reaction to these studies that suggest the lion's share of antidepressants effect comes from a placebo effect? And to mention here, you've been a licensed psychologist in practice since the early 80s, right?
Well, my initial reaction is to be quite surprised. I did not realize this. It's interesting. I do believe that antidepressants are very helpful for people. And looking at some of the research literature just the last few days in preparation for this meeting, there does appear to be some evidence that the placebo effect is more powerful than we'd realize. And it probably also explains why many times patients will say, you know, I feel somewhat better, but not entirely, and maybe I don't feel any better at all. It could be that antidepressants are not as effective as we'd always thought they were.
Mm.
And so, I guess I'd want to say, too, that we should not discount psychological therapies, which have also been found to be very effective.
Tell us about that. What is, from your point of view, the best way to tackle depression? Maybe there isn't a one-size-fits-all answer to this, but someone comes to you with a case of depression, and I want to ask Dr. Robinson the same question in just a moment. What is the best approach?
Well, I usually use a rating scale like the Beck Depression Inventory or the Hamilton rating scale, which is the one used in many of the studies. And if the person is severely depressed, we'll probably immediately refer to a physician for antidepressant medication and then continue to work with the person using either cognitive or interpersonal therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And those therapies aim at helping people to change their thinking, to explore the frustrations that they have in their life so that they can get, you know, better coping skills.
Psychotherapy, cognitive therapy, the best solution for long-term help for depression?
I think the research literature supports that, if you can make changes in how you think and how you act, that will have lasting effects. The antidepressant medication may stop being effective when people stop taking it, and so the depression may come back. But sometimes people need to be on the medication. So, you know, I can't say that medication isn't useful. It is useful. But if you can also make changes in thinking and behavior, that will be something that will last and stay with you.
Dr. Robinson, anything to add to that when we talk about someone being diagnosed with depression, the best way to approach it with medicine and or therapy?
Yeah, well, I there are increasingly demonstrated effective both physical treatments and psychological treatments for depression, and sometimes the combination is the most effective of all. Sometimes psychological treatments are just as effective as the physical, the pharmacological treatments, but we also have these other new physical treatments that are coming along, like transcranial magnetic stimulation and deep brain stimulation, as well as the electroconvulsive therapy that we've had for a number of years. So there, you know, there are a variety of treatments that are available, both physical treatments and psychological treatments, and we have good evidence that they're both effective.
Okay, let's go to Margaret Stout. I think we have our technical issue resolved. Executive Director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness here in Iowa. Margaret, in our studio in Des Moines, are you there with us?
I think I am.
Okay, very good. We're going to turn up your mic and ask you, what is the position of the National Alliance on Mental Illness on this topic?
Well, you know, we really don't have a position. The study kind of caught us by surprise. I missed our last convention out in California, but as far as I know, this has not been a topic that we've delved into very deeply. I did become aware of the National Psychiatric Society's comments on some of these medications. I guess the thing that I can say that concerns me that neither of our professional people have addressed is what would happen if the Newsweek article, though, reached, which it did, lots and lots of people, if those folks decided not to take their medication and assume that they didn't need either the placebo effect or the scientific part of the drug,
right,
which was supposedly helping them. I have a deep concern about that. So far, our office hasn't, you know, had a lot of calls on it.
Well, this is an important point. I'm glad you mentioned it, Margaret, because I want to have our professionals comment. And even the critics of antidepressants mentioned in the article do say this is not the time, if you're taking an antidepressant, to walk away from it, stop taking it, and let's go to Dr. Robinson. Why wouldn't you, even if it's a placebo effect, why wouldn't you want to stop talking your drugs before talking to your doctor?
Well, you have to remember that there is both a specific effect of the drug and there's a placebo effect of the drug. And we know that these, whether it's largely how much is related to placebo is less important than the fact that these drugs help people get better. Mm-hmm. And when people are severely depressed, they are at risk for suicide and negative outcomes like developing physical illnesses. Even death is associated with physical causes of death are associated with the development of depression. So it's important that patients who have these depressive disorders not say, well, this is just a sugar pill, so I'm going to throw everything out. That would be a big mistake.
Mm-hmm. For anyone interested in finding out in more detail the basis of this conversation, I think it's wrapped up pretty well in the Newsweek. I think it's the February 8th edition of Newsweek, the cover story by Sharon Begley. And do you, Dr. Robinson, think that that article you've read, it is that alarmist? Is that putting this in the wrong light?
Well, anybody who is in this field who has done clinical trials knows that there is a significant portion of response that is attributable to this hope and expectation, what we've been referring to as placebo. And so it wasn't new to anybody who's in the field.
You're saying significant, but this article is saying almost entirely, with the exception of severe cases of depression, that this is the large effect of these antidepressants is their placebo effect.
Well, it depends upon what the population is that you're studying and the experience of the people who are doing the ratings of the patients. You can't just assume that when a study finds that there, for instance, is no difference between the active and the placebo group, that potentially beneficial to the patients, or that it just means that there's no specific effect of the drugs. For all of the approved drugs by the FDA, they have to show that there is a specific part of the response to the active medication.
Okay, we have to go away in just a short moment, but I'm wondering if placebo effect is such a maligned term. Isn't it that we are simply believing or becoming aware in the increasing power of the brain on its own, the power of belief?
Yes. Well, the brain has tremendous power to be able to help our bodies and also to hurt our bodies when we're under stressful situations. There is a release of cortisol in the body that leads to all kinds of physical psychological effects.
Dr. Robinson, please stay with us. Head of psychiatry at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics, along with the executive director of NAMI Iowa, Margaret Stout, and licensed psychologist Don Damstieg. Hang on, please. We'll be back to continue this debate about the effectiveness of antidepressants, where they fit into our mental health these days. What do you think? Do you take an antidepressant? Do you think a placebo might be just as effective if you only believed? 1-866-780-9100 or the exchange at iowapublicradio.org. We'll be back in just a minute. Nearly half of teenage deaths in Iowa result from car crashes. So the state legislature is debating a host of new driving restrictions for 16 and 17-year-olds. Lawmakers are also considering a ban on texting while driving, which would apply to everyone. Monday on this program, the exchange lawmakers, researchers, and healthcare professionals will debate the merits of these proposals. My colleague Janine Beck will be hosting Monday the edition of The Exchange here from Iowa Public Radio News. Today we're talking about recent landmark research published in the Journal of the American Medical Association that reinforces a seminal study dating back to 1998 that calls into question the effectiveness of popular antidepressants. And if you've just joined us, the conclusion of the study, yes, the drugs are effective in that they lift depression in most patients, but that benefit is hardly more than what patients get when they unknowingly and as a part of a study take a dummy pill, a placebo. So we're looking at this debate. If you want to see a good wrap-up, read a good wrap-up of this debate, look at Newsweek from February 8th, Sharon Begley's cover story. Joining us this hour, Dr. Robert Robinson, head of the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Iowa, joining us by phone. Margaret Stout in Des Moines, executive director of NAMI Iowa, and Don Damstiegt, the owner of Family Psychology Associates based in Cedar Rapids, a licensed psychologist going back to the practicing since the early 1980s. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. Before we go to the calls, quickly, Dr. Robinson, we haven't really talked about how we think antidepressants work in our brain. Can you, for laymen, tell us how that is thought to work?
Fundamentally,